to the A, L to the K, A to the M, A, N, I, A. Y'all want no static with the killers from Full Press. Talk square circle, y'all should know who the two best. Put people on, showing love to the whole scene. Never miss a show, get my fix like a dope fiend. You know with trivia, they got the shit on lock. Title belt to the winner just to sweeten the pot. If you hear about Oscar, you know that it's Dez. Turn drink like the blues away, you'll end up dead. Pokemania, I came through with slow roll quad fives. Y'all want beef, Dez in jail, the wrong guys. Without this podcast, there would be no me. So I gotta say thank you to the real OGs. This is Mr. K, y'all signing off at the flow. Time to turn the mic up and deliver a show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic adventure. This is Talk About It. I went through some transitions there in my introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Dez Mino, and I am one half of Talkamania, here with J-Bomb himself. Say hello, J-Bomb. How's it going, buddy? How was your week? How you feeling?
I feel like a sack of shit. Week's been terrible, but it's the weekend, so I guess that's something.
Always has a nice vibe.
Yeah, I did enjoy Hell in a Cell last weekend, though.
Yeah, Hell in a Cell was good, man. We'll get right into that. But I did enjoy my week, too, and I had a really tasty burger.
Yeah, it was your birthday this week, too, right?
I want to tell all of you guys about that, because the burger was so good. Sometimes there's things that are so good that I eat that I have to tell somebody.
It was quite the random text. Quite the random text.
It was a good burger. I was like, am I going to be able to make it for the recording? Are we going to do it? I was like, you know what? All that's on my mind right now is this burger is fucking good, and Jay should know.
Where'd you buy it? Or did you make it?
You know what I've been doing? M&M's. I've been doing lots of M&M buys. I get the flyers every week on my Hotmail, and yeah. I just checked them out, and they had the burgers like $5 off or something, and they have pretty good quality burgers.
Yeah, they have good food.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. So what, you made it? What'd you put on your burger?
We did. So burgers were rib burgers. Then we toast the bun, obviously, but on it for dressing, lettuce, a cherry tomatoes that we dice up, kind of like we half them instead, red onion, the hot peppers that they have, you know, the hot peppers, and avocado, and then spicy mustard and ketchup. And it was just fantastic.
No mayo.
No, I don't put mayo on burgers.
Oh, I love
mayo. I don't put mayo on anything, to be honest with you. Actually, I don't like mayo.
What?
It makes me nauseous if I have too much of it. It's too eggy. But I love it on a BLT. Like, I could not have a BLT without it. But I don't like to go get a BLT and then glob it on like crazy. I like to have like a nice layer of it. I don't mind if I get a burger at a restaurant and they put some mayo in on it. I don't mind that much. But I don't know, man. If I bought mayo, it would just never be used in my house.
I like to shred my lettuce, take some mayo and a little bit of balsamic and mix it together, and then dip the shredded lettuce in there, and then put that in the burger.
Oh, that's good, because you're seasoning your lettuce.
Yeah.
You're enhancing. That's what I like to do. I like to be like, okay, what can I do to enhance every element of my dish, man?
That's it.
That sounds like a good idea. I might have to seal that one and try that
one
out.
It is a good one.
I went to a restaurant, a Hugin, a Beaufort. It's near with the Frontenac or I don't know, one of those, Hochelaga, passed around Hochelaga, Montreal.
Okay.
Anyways, so really tasty food. I showed you some photos of it. It was fantastic. So me and my wife, every year for our birthday, we treat each other to a nice meal at a fancy restaurant. And we try to like surprise the other one and pick some good food because we like to eat good food. And she brought me to this place, and it was supposed to be like Canadian rustic or something. I don't know what the menu was, but anyways, it was just very like, you know, colorful meals, kind of like tapas like meals. They're all like kind of smaller portions, but a lot of components to it. Really nice presentation. Fuck. The flavors are so good. Bien mangé. Oh, yeah. Had a plate with like this really small, thinly cut, almost sashimi style lamb. Really, really tasty. There was one with like pickled beets on it. Sounds gross, but you know what? I like beets, so I don't think it was that gross. It's actually very tasty. Might have been my favorite dish of the whole night. But it's funny because when you go order your steak in the end, you get the best cut, and you get like three cubes of that cut, and you're like, oh, let's, I want more. But yeah. I guess that's part of it, right?
That's so part of it, man.
Dessert was fantastic. Yeah, I ate really well. I took the day off, and now I'm old. I'm older now. So.
Well, you're older than me now.
I thought I was 37 turning 38, I swear to God, and I found out that I was 36 turning 37.
Well, listen, a guy asked me how old I was today, and I told him 38. And then I was like, no, I'm 37. And then I realized
you're 36. I'm 36. 37. Yeah, I know, right? It's like sometimes I feel like I'm senile, but I think you just get old and you just don't care or think about it too much anymore.
You're well, like, I think of it like this, right? 30 is a number. Nothing between 30 and 40 matters. So that's why you forget where you are in your 30s.
Yeah, I guess so. Also, because we're old as fuck and yeah. My brain cells are pretty shot. My memories, sometimes I'm in situations where I'm talking and I immediately forget something when I'm talking. Yeah. And I get worried for myself. I'm like, man, that's bad that I just literally forgot what I was talking about. Or like my daughter, I was weighing her, right? I had to weigh her for daycare. So I put her down. I'm like, okay, 11.2 kilograms. Awesome. Okay, you can step off. I open up my phone. I go to type it. And I'm like, wait, what was it again?
Yeah.
And I put her down on the scale, 11.2. And then I almost did it, forgot again. It was like, oh my God, now I know for sure, clearly.
I walk into rooms and always forget what I'm there for.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, I do it at work all the time. I'm so easily sidetracked.
That's not that uncommon. I'll be mid-conversation, and, like, my wife will be talking to me about, like, her answer back on what I just said, and I'll be like, what are you talking about again?
Yeah, well, hold on. You're probably gaming, right?
No. But the thing is, my mind's always thinking all over the place, so I think about something else while she's talking, and then, like, I go back to her, and I'm like, oh, what was I talking about again? But I still should remember that.
It's pretty bad.
Okay, let's do it. Let's jump into Hell in a Cell. We both checked it out this weekend, obviously. Let me take a quick look at the card again. Oh, great opener, right? Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Becky Lynch.
Quite possibly the match of the night, really.
It was really good. It was very good. I was going back. I was watching that gif of Asuka beating the shit out of Becky Lynch. It was all over the timeline this past week. All those kicks and shit. These women are great. Three professionals. And look, man, Bianca found a way to retain her championship. Pulling a play out of the hands of Becky Lynch by, I guess, like using Becky's finisher, but then throwing out of the ring, getting the pin. So I don't know who Bianca's going to face now moving forward. But the match itself was great. I don't know if he caught Raw the next night, though. I know who Bianca's facing. She's facing Rhea Ripley. There was a match for the number one contendership, so I completely forgot.
Rhea Ripley's going to a package with Bianca?
Yeah, there was like a fatal four-way or fatal five-way. Good match, and she ended up winning, and she will face off against Bianca Belair, which I guess is interesting. It's a it's a unique pairing. Sure, could be.
You know, look, what they did to Judgment Day was stupid. Okay, you mentioned that Rhea Ripley had to be the biggest badass in Judgment Day, and these guys could have rolled for a really long time making Rhea Ripley big. No title needed, none of that shit, and then she could have gone after the title eventually. But to fast forward on Judgment Day this quick, how are they already? They won, and Edge didn't tell them to do anything. They legitimately won by being a good tag team at Hell in a Cell.
Okay, so I'm with you there. I think they could have spent a little bit more time developing Rhea Ripley. The interesting thing is, like, did you watch Raw this week?
I watched that part of Raw.
Okay, so you know what happened to Judgment Day.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Right.
That's why I think it's stupid.
So a lot of people were saying this is a knee-jerk reaction to Cody being out long-term because they need another baby face. But I also read a report that WWE wants to take Judgment Day to be like a supernatural group. And Edge was like, nah, this is stupid now. I want out. So I don't know which one is real, but both those stories did come out. You know what I would have done?
I could see the Cody Rhodes thing be more plausible. But I don't think we need Edge in 2022 to be the babyface of the
movie. I know. But I think you get a few, right? Like, they could have actually like had Seth flip. And been
how about
like,
Finn Balor?
Yeah, I know, right? They said they put him in the group, right? They could have. He's been waiting for that push forever. It could have been a great moment for him.
Or, turn Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Seth, he came out like, okay, first of all, we've been getting Cody versus Seth so frequently that each time I'm like, oh, man, come on, guys, just, you know, let it go. I don't want to see another one. And how can you top it? I don't really think you can. Dude, this was the best match of the three.
Bro, they took a Hell in a Cell match, okay? with an injured Cody Rhodes, and not just an injured Cody Rhodes. When he took off that robe, it was like
the crowd just was like, "Holy shit!"
So this is complicated and a lot to unpack. But Cody Rhodes lost my interest in AEW because of his like want to prove to the crowd that he's the toughest motherfucker in the world.
Oh, he did a lot of that.
The lashes, I'll never become champion. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. It was too much. But like he didn't need to do what he did at Hell in a Cell, but it fucking worked. And they took a Hell in a Cell match. I don't know what they had planned before the injury. But not much happened in that match if you really go back and think about it. But everything that happened was elevated to a million degrees because of his injury. And it was, honestly, it was just an instant classic.
So I watched it on Sunday. I was like half asleep. I day drank on Sunday. So I was like super sleepy during the pay-per-view. And, you know, I was reading how great it was. And I was like, yeah, it was pretty good. And then I was reading how everyone's saying it was like the best of the three. And I was like, was it? And then I read today that Dave Meltzer gave it 5 stars. And Meltzer, you know, doesn't give WWE any stars because that's what he does. And I was very surprised that he gave it 5 stars. So I was like, you know what? The fact that he did, or the fact that everyone's saying so much about it, I'm going to go back and watch it because I was half asleep. I watched it today during my lunch break. It was a fucking great match.
The storytelling was incredible.
They did a lot during that match. They did, and the storytelling was really good. A lot of the fine little details they did, obviously, of course. I think there is this element of Cody liking to put himself, like the self, like he likes to mutilate himself, not mutilate himself, like, but he likes to hurt
himself.
He's a
martyr. Yeah,
he likes to cause that pain. I can't pronounce that word, sadomasochist or whatever you want.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like he likes to put himself through that torture. And maybe it isn't like an arrogance thing of like, look what I'll do. Maybe he's just fucking weird and he's like Mankind and likes to put himself through that to some degree. I don't know. I remember when we used to wrestle, we used to like, you know, I wouldn't mind getting hit with the chair because it was cool to get hit with the chair. Like, I don't know. But, you know, I also grew up.
but Cody in AEW was doing it to like, the degree where it was like, oh, Cody, you don't have to do this. Like, we acknowledge you, you know? But when he took off that robe, man, and then it wasn't a squash match, because at first I thought it was going to be at the beginning of that match.
Yeah, because he went for the big moves right away.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, here we go, you know?
And that's and then great. It was a great way to play it, too. You're like, oh, he's going to, and then it ended up being this long story. Like, it was
and it went on and on and on. It was so good.
They bring
and
the cowbell in, the sledgehammer, the pedigree. Like, it was a lot of cool stuff in there.
I will say this. Hunter Hearst Helmsley might be the guy who likes the sledge, but Cody's hit on Seth Rollins at the end with the sledgehammer, I think, was the best hit I've ever seen with a sledgehammer in pro wrestling.
Great. It was great.
I thought he actually hit him.
It's like, funny because here we go. Cody ended up going 3-0 versus Seth, right? We thought it couldn't happen. It wouldn't make sense because it would harm Seth. Obviously, it's not going to harm Seth. But the fact that they did this, like he went 3-0 over Seth Rollins, the man who like Hall of Famer already. He beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 35 as well, not too many years ago. Like this is Seth Rollins, and he went 3-0 over him with a torn pec. This guy, like, they just made him a superstar in the WWE. Like, he's officially a top shit now in WWE. Not like I'm not saying he's better, bigger than Roman, but like, you know that
he's number two.
Yeah, he's not a mid-carder. I think that conversation is dead. They literally made him I mean, he put in the work and he's
top tier.
He's a star, but like this was the 3-0 win over Seth Rollins and this match going in there and fighting injured. Like he's made now.
With a broken fucking pec.
Yeah, he went and did it, man. He came to the WWE and he's made himself a star. And then think about it, man. This injury that happened, like okay, yeah, he's going to suck. He's going to have time on the shelf, but he gets to spend some time with his family now, I guess, on a positive perspective, a side of it. And this guy's primed and ready to come back for the Royal Rumble. How big of a pop is this guy going to get when he comes back? Especially when, like, Seth Rollins, you know, shakes his hand and then comes out and attacks him again. That's going to put a lot of heat on Seth, but also make the pop even louder for when Cody returns, right? So, like, what they did with him since he debuted to now has been phenomenal. It's just been like really well done. Really well done.
He's been well booked and he's delivered his story really well. To me, it's got to be Roman and Cody at WrestleMania 39 or whatever the hell it's going to be. But Roman, removed from TLC. What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah, Money in the Bank. Yeah, yeah. They took them off Money in the Bank. Apparently because they moved it out of an arena. Now it's out of the stadium. It's not in the stadium anymore.
Oh, so Roman can't come?
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, he's tying up two titles here. I'm feeling a little Brock Lesnar going on.
Well, they were going to bring Brock in for the arena, I think, show. Because it was going to be like a big arena, a lot of people coming. I think they weren't selling enough tickets or whatever the fucking, whatever it was. And because they wanted to make Money in the Bank like another one of their big pay-per-views I was reading. Like, they wanted to make it. Like,
it is, though.
It is, but it is, but at the same time, like, the way that they've been using the briefcases, it's not.
I know,
it could,
but
it could be so much more.
They shouldn't have done it in Vegas because nobody lives there. Everybody has to travel there. They should have just done it in, like, New York or Chicago or, you know, Dallas, L.A. even. I mean, do it in one of those spots where, you know, you're going to get a sellout anyways. But Roman hasn't been on TV in a really long time.
No, he's got that lighter schedule now.
I know, but he's not Brock.
I think they're priming him in to be the new Brock or putting that Brock situation. It's weird. People get into that role a lot quicker now, it seems. Like,
yeah.
I mean, but he's been around a long time, and Roman has done a lot of miles. He, you know, one could say he's earned it, but...
But his character doesn't work with that. Like, acknowledge me. Why? You're not here.
Yeah. No, I don't like the title not being on the show. I've never been a fan of that.
Yeah, especially for the title not being... Like, both titles. At least we had the Universal when Brock had it, you know?
And he didn't even have to wrestle, man. He can come out and just be an asshole or interfere or cut a promo. Did you actually watch that Savage promo I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Was it great, eh?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
When he started telling the commentators, you work for me.
Yeah. Dude, like, tell me, I don't know what happened to this guy.
What they really should do... if he's not going to be on TV and not be scheduled, is just like high quality vignettes like AEW would do.
Yeah.
Like a good like 6 minutes on Raw of like him at home, not talking to the camera live, just like narrating while we were watching shit. That's what they should do with him in the Bloodline.
Oh yeah. No, 100%. I don't know. Without having the championship. First of all, the AEW's introducing a new championship.
What, the triple team?
No. So they are going to do the triple team belts. I think it's when Kenny returns. They're planning on doing it. I don't know when that's going to be, maybe in the fall. But I think it's a North Atlantic Championship. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Yeah, they just randomly announced yesterday there will be a tournament. Another tournament. Ready? Another tournament for the North Atlantic Championship belt.
I will say this. Since Cody's come to WWE... I feel like I see more and more and more people criticizing AEW. I do. People are saying, oh, Tony Khan's not as good as the Booker as we thought. I think it's because one of his soccer teams got relegated up to the main league. So he's got two soccer teams and AEW to work with.
That's why he's got to do the blow to keep up?
Like, I will say, well, actually, I did chime into AEW and saw who won the Royal Rumble, or the Battle Royal, sorry. And I was really excited about it when I found out.
Oh, Kyle O'Reilly?
It was our boy, yeah.
Yeah. But I like watching Dynamite. I really enjoy watching Dynamite. But it's a great show.
But then Moxley winning. I mean, what's the point? Moxley's been the champion.
Well, we knew it was going to be Moxley beating Kyle O'Reilly. Because, I mean, like, what? If Kyle goes on to fight somebody in Japan, it would be a great match, but...
Yeah. Let the Japanese guy win.
Yeah, maybe. It's weird. It's like they're going back to their, like, number one. Did you see, like, at the press conference when CM Punk won the championship? Yeah. Like, Tony Khan was, they were, like, holding hands.
They were, like, blowing each other under the table.
Yeah. Now, speaking of CM Punk, wow, what shit luck is that, right? He wins the championship. And
fuck him.
He's got a broken foot or a busted up foot. Has to have surgery. Comes out super sad. Looked like he was about to, you know, well, you'll see, he was crying, I think.
Fuck him. Fuck him. And the fact that he's like, it's going to be an interim championship. Oh my God. Just
funny too, because he comes out and he's like, I volunteered to drop it, but Tony told me not to. Yeah, right. Tony's like, Tony's like, go out there and you can say that. Go out there and you can say that. You know, like,
I don't know. But no, Roman is a little annoying. I will say that because it was nice having Roman, who's arguably the best wrestler in the world, and then to not have him all the time now is like, oh, what are you doing? And now with Cody being out, I mean, really, Bobby Lashley got a... First of all, Bobby Lashley and Omos, somehow that match was really enjoyable. And I think it was because of the crowd. Like, after the crowd, when fucking Bobby Lashley grabbed that guy's title, I don't know if he went into business for himself right there, but I fucking loved every minute of it. And it would have been sick as fuck if that was you standing there with the title and he grabbed it.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool.
Like, that's a call out. WWE, I could see Vince telling people never to do this if you're not in the championship picture. And this motherfucker grabbed a replica title and started jumping around with it going, give me my fucking shot. There was another wrestler. It was a girl who went like this at Hell in a Cell. Who was that?
I don't know. I must have missed that.
I think it was Rhea Ripley. Somebody was going like this after big moves and shit like that. I don't remember who it was. Because, I mean, what other matches was there? There was Asuka. There was Liv Morgan.
If you're saying women, Judgment Day was in there. Liv Morgan, Ripley, and yeah, I think.
So I think it was Ripley.
Interesting. Well, there you go. She's going for the championship against.
I know, but bro, I really liked the Judgment Day match.
I thought it was pretty good too. Yeah,
the way that it ended, they were all in sync with their celebration. Their entrance was good. Rhea Ripley, I thought, stole the fucking show. I thought she looked like $1 million. I don't think the combination with Finn Balor is not gonna work.
Yeah, it might not. I just like I feel like it needs to have that main leader, and I don't see him being a main leader.
Well, he's the shortest of the three. I mean, Edge might have been too, but Edge had that like Hall of Famer. I'm remaking myself, bro. I can't watch a WWE where Edge is like the top babyface, man.
The only thing that was kind of cool was like nobody would have called that from happening.
No, nobody called that. Yeah. I will say that. I mean that was out of nowhere, but it was so out of nowhere that it was like. This is stupid.
It would have been cool if Balor, like, the night before they were wrestling, like, they lost, and then at the end of the match, like, Finn turned on them and joined them, and then they go out, and there's going to be a new member, and then Finn's like, there isn't going to be a new member, you know? Yeah. And then, like, then they attack Edge. And
it would have been 10 times better that way.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they wanted to, like, to surprise people and, like, say, hey, we have a new member, tune in to Raw. I don't know.
They still could have done that.
Yeah, they still could have done that. Yeah, they still could
like
have
done Finn that. Balor. First of all, Finn Balor, Liv, and AJ was cool. Is AJ hurt?
See the blood?
Yeah. Yeah. He's pissing blood.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I was trying to go back and look and see when it happened as well, too, and I couldn't even find out.
But the pay-per-view was good. Like, even, honestly, Madcap, I don't know, man. Now that he's not wearing the suspenders.
He looks really good, eh?
A little bit more believable. And he beat the shit out of Corbin, which was nice. Austin Theory and Mustafa Ali, who gives a shit? I don't get it. I definitely didn't pay attention during that match. But everything else was really, even Ezekiel and Kevin Owens was really good.
So did you see what happened on Raw this past week?
No, I didn't.
2-2? Okay. I love this just because I love Kevin Owens, and the way that he answers and the way he acts is very like, it's not like, yes, I'm angry. He's just like, he's very real. Yeah. You know, it's almost like a Curb Your Enthusiasm conversation when he's talking.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Here, you can play this and you can pop that in. I think it's for the right time as well too.
All right. Let's see here.
Kevin Owens. You challenged me to a one-on-one match at Hell in a Cell, and in my short career, it was the most important match of my life, but I fell short. I didn't get it done. Maybe I was a little too zeked up, but you got to move forward, and if there's one thing I'll learn from my older brother, Elias, it's that everyone deserves a second chance. So, Kevin, I want a rematch next week. Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel.
Why would I give you I already beat you. Like, you know what? You know what? I'm in such a good mood after beating the hell out of you last night. I'm feeling generous. I got this, boys. We're good.
He's I'm feeling so good, generous. Eh?
You want a rematch next week? You got it, buddy.
Oh, there you go.
On one condition. You want that rematch? You need to admit to the world right now that you are Elias. Admit it. Tell the truth and you get your rematch. You're Elias. Tell them. Shut up, you idiots.
Okay. You got me, Kev. I admit it.
Whoa, no, 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 no. That's a good start. It's not enough. No, no. You admit what? Say it. Say it and look at me when you say it. Look
they got
me.
This
look
over. It's nuts. It.
I admit my name is Elias.
I knew it! I knew it! I told you! I knew it! I told you, idiots! I told you, idiots watching at home! I knew it! I'm not the liar! You're the liar! You're Elias! I knew it all along! I'm a genius! I was right! I win!
Oh. Okay, so do I have my rematch?
You have your rematch. You want me to beat the hell out of you again next week? No problem, buddy. You got your rematch, Elias.
Wow. I didn't think it would be that easy. I mean, Kev, I knew you were thick-headed, but that's embarrassing. All I had to do was take a page out of the Kevin Owens playbook.
But what? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I lied. I'm Ezekiel.
Oh, nice knee.
Got him.
I love Kevin Owens gets so frustrated.
Right to the jaw.
I love it. Bro. I feel like it's a little like Larry David in him, you know?
Dude, I can't believe that he could get this over. It's just and he's been the same guy the entire time.
I know.
All the way back to like, you know, the List of Jericho and Best Friends and all that kind of shit.
Yeah. He cut a great promo after the match with Ezekiel too, where the lady came over and talked to him and asked him his comments post match, and like he started talking about like, I came out here to look at the sunset, but the sun is not setting because the sun is already set or something. And he just made it like this joke about the sun setting, and he's like, and now I will walk into what should have been the sunset or something. And it was just like, he's ridiculous. He's funny, man.
I honestly did not like Elias. I'm a big fan of Ezekiel.
I've always thought that he was a good character. He was good. He was funny, charismatic, but the wrestling was like, you know.
But his wrestling is better.
It's all right.
It's more interesting.
Well, it's a lot of the same things, right? He even says like, he'll even be like, you do that move. Elias did that move. Like he's called out things like that before. I like that. Like they're making fun of like the fact that they rename people and rebrand people, right? They do it and they think we're stupid, but like, we know, you know, and we'll actually make a story out of it. You know, like otherwise they would not be able to say Elias on TV.
Do you think that he was actually supposed to be rebranded as Ezekiel and this like was actually a plan, and then Kevin Owens just kind of let it slip? No, like ad-libbed something and they kind of ran with it, but really he was supposed to come back as Ezekiel.
Maybe, because they weren't really saying Elias too much in the beginning, so it is possible. I am surprised that Kevin hasn't like been like, here's a guitar, or bring a guitar near him and be like, play the guitar or something, and him trying to play, like, pretending to play it, but it's so ingrained in his soul that he ends up being really good or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's getting to that, because I think they're going to continue their feud, right? And people are joking that it's like, oh, he went from Stone Cold Steve Austin to Ezekiel. Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's a pretty big shift, but I mean, how do you follow up big from Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? He had a great match with Stone Cold Steve Austin, main event at WrestleMania, and this is a great program. It's a lot of fun, and I'm sure he's having fun with it, you know? Like, I don't know. And also, you might look at Ezekiel, and we're like, oh, he's mid-card or bottom of the card. Who knows if maybe backstage, Kevin and Ezekiel are actually good friends, and it's fun for them to be working together.
They have really good chemistry, so. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
I was listening to Busted Open. They were talking about how good of a hand Kevin and Sami Zayn are, and how they could literally be used and trusted in pretty much any storyline. I mean, Kevin Owens is over, doesn't need a title, doesn't even need to be in the title picture. I don't look at him as a mid-carder. I look at him as a top guy that's just doing something different.
Yeah, that's it. I definitely do, yeah. Oh, I just and read Paige announces her WWE departure. Sorry.
Yeah, July 7th. I read that
and
too.
She wants to go back into the ring. Okay, that's smart.
Yeah. Good luck, sweetie.
No, she could kill herself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be good topic on the show.
I guess it would make for good.
That'd be some good content. I mean, that's pretty much all of Hell in a Cell, really. It was good, though. Like, people were like, oh, it was such a bad pay-per-view. I'm, like, sitting there going, what, man? Like, I was thoroughly entertained, and especially coming off after Double or Nothing. Like, Double or Nothing was really good, too. So to follow it up with, you know, questionably almost a nothing pay-per-view and only having one cell match, and the cell match was kind of ruined because of the injury, it was still really fucking good.
Well, we do have Money in the Bank on the horizon. I'm just wondering who you think should win the Money in the Bank this year.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I feel like because Roman Reigns has it, I feel like Money in the Bank this year is going to be six of the top guys. I want to see like Bobby Lashley in there. I want to see Seth Rollins in there. I want to see Kevin Owens in there. Who else could go into that match?
Well, I am reading, and I think SmackDown's about to kick off shortly, and I guess that's why that's on here. The first participants in the Money in the Bank ladder will be determined. It's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. Whoever wins this goes on to win the Money in the Bank. Please.
Let's hope it's Drew.
Well, you know what? Here's two things. I hope it's Drew because, again, going back to your fact, I want to have a lot of big guys in there.
Yeah.
Sounds not homosexual at all, but I want to see a lot of big guys in there. And but the thing is, Sheamus is actually pretty entertaining in these ladder matches.
Sheamus is very good in every match he's in, to be honest. Yeah, no, I don't know, man. He's rough, and I kind of like it, but he is really good in ladder matches.
He does stand out in these ladder matches. So I'm totally like, it's fine either way. And like, maybe Sheamus could be somebody who wins that Money in the Bank briefcase, because otherwise I don't really see how he's going to get himself the championship again if he does. But he's the perfect guy to be that villain who cashes it in, you know? So,
But I don't know. I have a feeling this year it's going to be somebody who's going to just call out Roman because he's not there all the time now. So, like, they can't really take advantage of a situation. I don't know. I why not have a guy like Kofi Kingston be in this match and win? And then let him babyface it up for a while?
I would be totally down to have Kofi Kingston win this because, again, like, I have a feeling that he's never going to get in the title picture ever again. They gave him his flowers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Big E can maybe work his way back in there. But Kofi, I'm a little bit worried about. I think he would be a great person to have that briefcase. But I also feel like he would be somebody to get that briefcase and then not succeed. And he'd be one of those statistics.
I could see it. I could definitely see it. I mean, I'm looking through the roster right now.
I feel they need to have that a little bit more. They need to have the failed cash-ins a little bit more. That way you don't always see it coming.
Hasn't it failed for a while now?
No. Miz won last year, didn't he?
Okay.
Drew McIntyre?
For like a minute.
Well, a week or something like that. Yeah, but still, he still won.
AJ Styles could be in the ladder match.
Yes, AJ Styles should be in this match. Absolutely. I want to see AJ have one more title run at least. But... yeah, I really do hope it is. And then the women's side, we have Lacey Evans versus Xia Li. So I imagine Lacey Evans is going to win this because they're bringing her back finally. She's having her first match, I think, tonight, which I guess this is it. So Lacey definitely could be somebody who wins it because she comes back and they want to push her strong.
Lacey Evans' promo the other day when she came out during Memorial Day was absolutely some of the worst shit I've ever seen her do.
I might have missed that one. But yeah, they've been flip-flopping on her, putting her on Raw, putting her on SmackDown. They're looking at like she's going to be a face, but I think they're going to flip her and make her a heel to surprise people. So I don't know. But I think if we're going to talk about a women's Money in the Bank winner, I would absolutely like it to be Liv Morgan. And I'm not like the biggest Liv Morgan fan, but I feel like they would be missing out on an opportunity because I think... you know, WWE gets a really bad rap about not building women up in terms of like them as superstars. And I feel like Liv Morgan's been a little bit of an exception where they actually had invested a lot of time in her and putting her in a lot of key spots. She had matches with Becky. She had, you know, tag team title run. She was with Rhea Ripley. Like, she had all kinds of cool stuff. And right now she's with AJ Styles and Balor doing the club, you know? So I feel like when she finally does win, it would be such a big moment. But I don't know if she can do it without that Money in the Bank briefcase. I think she can, but I'm wondering if the WWE would do it. So I don't know if she'd be my number one pick, but I do believe that she could definitely be a good candidate to win it this year.
Who's the champions? Ronda Rousey and Bianca Belair.
And Ronda Rousey's feuding with well, it was Raquel Gonzalez at first. So going back to the whole thing, it was supposed to be Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey. Okay. And Ronda was going to go through Sasha, and Sasha, I guess, didn't like that. Didn't want to work with Ronda Rousey. So that was also part of it. So Ronda ended up working with like Raquel Gonzalez, who's now Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And then there was a number one contendership match, or there was for the championship last week, and it's going to be Natty Hart versus Ronda. Like, really? Really? Is that what we want to see? Like, I love the history there. I know all that, but like, they've done it before, these girls, and Natalya's not going to win, and I don't know, man. Yeah. It's not entertaining, man. It's not interested in her title run at all. She should have been against Becky. It should have been on Raw. I don't know, man. And now Charlotte's out, too, so they're missing.
What do you mean Charlotte's out?
She's, well, I don't know if she'll be back soon, but she is, I guess it was a storyline injury, but she went and got married to Andrade.
Yeah.
He just came back last week, so maybe she'll be back soon as well, too. But she's selling an injury that when she dropped the title to
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, yeah. She's like now out for a bit. So maybe she's just taking a break.
Well, I don't know who's all going to be in there, but I feel like it's going to be big winners this year.
I hope so. And then imagine, watch, on the men's one, Brock Lesnar comes out and wins it again.
I don't know if I'd be upset.
I think at this point I would, because he doesn't need it. He just come out and be like, I'm coming for your title, Roman, and go after it. But honestly, if we go like around WrestleMania next year and we find out it's Brock versus Roman again, I was super down for it this year. It was great, title versus title, but I don't want it again. And apparently the dirt sheets I'm reading are like, they're talking about it as if it's not even a question. It's going to happen. They just don't know when. So like, that's a little bit crazy, but I know Riddle is challenging Roman for the title. He already made it clear on Raw or SmackDown or Raw or whatever.
Really?
And I think that'll be on like a TV show. I don't think it's going to be on a pay-per-view. The latest I'm reading is that it might be Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton at SummerSlam. So
is Orton actually hurt?
Maybe he's back snagged, banged up. He's taking some time off. I don't know.
What's going on with Bayley?
I don't know. I'm waiting. Put her in the Money in the Bank briefcase. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, on one side, I could see Bayley kind of walking out the briefcase every week being fun. But like, I also hate that when the person just carries it around every single week and it becomes their gimmick. It's kind of like almost like a King of the Ring gimmick, you know?
Well, it's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I guess.
When somebody wins a title, that's the gimmick they get, right?
I guess so. So, yeah, but like really excited. You know, you and I talk about Money in the Bank being one of our favorite pay-per-views of the year. Really exciting. Just as long as they do something relevant with the title, I guess. But look, did you see this past week on Raw, Becky Lynch in the mix for the 24/7 title?
I heard she got pinned by Dana Brooke.
She did.
Hasn't been pinned on TV in like 4 years, and Dana Brooke's the one that does it.
Crazy. I bet you Becky's like wanted to give that to Dana, to be honest with you. I don't think she was probably salty about it. She's like, yeah, okay. But what does this mean? Is Asuka coming out? I guess either, well, they're clearly pushing Asuka and Becky some more, which they have great matches. It's fine. But 24/7 title, why did they have to, you know? But what would have been awesome, I thought about, is everybody made a joke about that 24/7. It was the internet joke. It was all AEW fans. Everybody makes fun of it, right? Because it's like a joke. You have the weddings they've had and, you know, just the amount of title reigns that R-Truth had. What if Becky did win it and then made it like a legit title? Where like she has matches for it, like regular matches every other week, puts the belt on the line, could put it online at pay-per-views, but also can be attacked and pinned, you know, at any time. And if they don't get cheesy with it, which I don't think they couldn't do, that's the problem. But they had it like a regular championship where she would have matches and stuff. But also once in a while, not all the time, once in a while, throw in a statement or a recorded thing from like, you know, wherever she is, where somebody tries to get the one up on her, but she's always fucking tough, kicks her ass, you know, escapes or beats the shit out of them and holds on to that title and holds on to that title forever. And it can become a thing where she gets paranoid and crazy, like, my precious. And make that title actually something. And then Becky can say, not only did I reinvent myself, I made this title mean something, you know? And there could be ways where, like, maybe, like, you know, one of the dudes tries to get it off her and it makes her look tough because she kicks the guy's ass or something. Like, I don't know. But, like, she could actually, I believe Becky could actually make that title something if they wanted to move forward with that idea.
she should win it. Hire security.
Mm-hmm.
To protect her. Elevate the security, whoever that is. You know, two NXT girls or something like that. Or even two NXT guys. And then she should just be like so big time that she gets the title remade and looks like $1 million and then holds on to it like it's her precious and starts losing her mind later when it's the downfall of Becky Lynch. Dude, and she could leave and come back and reinvent.
I feel like we got to submit this idea. Wouldn't it be great, like, though? They're Becky like, could
but
do
no,
it.
The 24/7 champion, it's so beloved. Why would you do anything to change it?
That'd be a great idea. Love it.
It would be good.
How are we on time?
Well, if there's anything you want to do before we wrap up, we're like at 40 minutes, yeah?
All right.
I hear my kids screaming.
So you're like, keep going.
What else we got going on in the wrestling world? We talked a little AEW. We talked Hell in a Cell. We talked Raw. SmackDown's
MJF,
on
MJF
tonight.
Wasn't on Dynamite this past week.
Oh, well.
What's going on here? What is it? Like, because Tony was on Busted Open Wednesday, and again, they tried to get a little bit out of him, and he just keeps saying, like, I can't talk about that. And, like, I don't know. Apparently, Warner was at the broadcast, and they weren't happy about it. And, like, they're going as far as removing him from the roster, and they're going as far as removing his merchandise. But if you're going to go that far, like, well, then why haven't you released him? You know? Like, yeah. So, obviously, I feel like it's something where, like, it was real. Maybe MJF used it to his advantage. Sat down with Tony, renegotiated, and then like, okay, well now let's turn this into a story. Take some time off.
That's definitely the general consensus of it. There's got to be some truth in there. There has to be some, because I don't see why they would just go down that path for nothing.
But I'm also wondering, like, why wouldn't they have him on TV or even mention him this week? There's like no mention of him.
I think okay, if he goes 2 weeks, maybe. But there's been episodes of Dynamite without MJF. And this might have been, CM Punk's night and, focus on the championship title, give Jon Moxley his shit. I mean, I don't know. It's tough to tell.
Well, yeah, now they're going back to Jon Moxley. They've given Adam Cole the that championship belt, the Hart championship belt.
He doesn't walk around with it, does he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they walk around.
Does he have to defend it and stuff?
I don't know. Because then what happens next year? Are you maybe in the tournament next year? Like, I always thought that was a good idea. Like,
you should have to defend it the next year.
Yeah, like, the King of the Ring should be in the King of the Ring the next year.
He should just be the guy in the finals against
Yes. That should be the advantage.
Or, like, semis. He's got to win one more match or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be that.
I don't know. I'm looking at the WWE roster. Elias is on it, and so is Ezekiel.
No way.
Yeah, they're both in there side by side.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It's crazy though, because Elias is so much more jacked than Ezekiel.
Like, one of these weeks they're gonna say, no, who's more jacked?
Elias.
Yeah, Elias was yeah. Elias.
Listen,
was like meaty jacked.
If somehow this has been the biggest cover-up ever and Elias actually does have a twin brother and it's been Ezekiel, I will do
Nah,
whatever,
his voice
the world.
Is like, everything is so the same.
I know, but it would be so good if they could do some special effects or something, man. They got to find a way.
Or have, like, their father come out and he's, like, super old. but for him, I would love to see, like, how I could see Kevin coming out and be like, okay, next week, I want you guys both here at the same time. Or I want to see Elias next week. I want to see what they're going to do, because they're going to have to eventually go further with this thing. I don't know.
Or they might just drop it out of nowhere. They could.
Maybe.
They could just fucking... It would suck, but... Yeah, I don't know half the people on this roster, man. I guess they're all on
NXT
2.0. Who's Max Dupri?
Oh,
that's LA Knight?
LA Knight. They renamed him, which I thought LA Knight was a fantastic name.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
Mr. Stone... Nigel McGuinness, I know who that is. Man, Noam Dar still on the WWE roster?
He's in NXT UK, I believe. But yeah, he's the guy that's just like making the most out of it.
Yeah, Paige is still on this list.
You see Will Ospreay showed up in AEW?
Did he?
Yeah.
Is he going to be part of the Forbidden
Door? I think he's part of the that North Atlantic Championship tournament that they have going on. Hmm. It's like they're going to be like two people from New Japan in the tournament. I think he might be one of them. But it's funny because he craps on, like, you know, mainstream wrestling, and then he shows up in AEW. But you know what? The reception wasn't massive. People, I don't think people knew who he was.
Nobody knows who the fuck Will Ospreay is.
I mean, I think they should. I think he's one of the better wrestlers in the world, 100%.
Yeah, but he was a mid-carder when Cody and the Bucks were in New Japan. And to me, if you didn't make it to AEW when Cody and the Young Bucks went over, your ship has sailed, bro. Only reason why people cared about New Japan, the way that they cared about New Japan, was because of Cody and the Bucks. That's why Jericho was there. That's why, well, Omega, I don't know. That's, yeah.
Maybe
with Omega,
Omega
leaving.
I would say maybe, yeah. Omega.
But Omega, Cody, I mean, we were staying up till fucking five in the morning,
Cody
4 in the morning.
Cody went over there
shit.
Because I think of Omega. I think, you know, and the Young Bucks, yeah, might have went over there because of Omega as well, too. Maybe not. I don't know.
I think the Young Bucks were there with Omega most,
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Yeah. But Cody definitely went over for that. Cody was huge. That's why, like, Cody leaving AEW, man. That's why I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it until the moment he put his music at WrestleMania.
I'm telling you, even for weeks, even now, I don't think I'm actually, like, it's kind of weird. It's weird. It's still weird for me.
It is
Cody
weird when we
see
him.
It's like, when are you going home? Like, when are you going back to AEW? Are you here for a while, for a month, for, you know, yeah. And
no, especially with the tattoo, because the tattoo almost looks like an AEW logo when I look at it, even though I know it's not, but it just screams AEW to me. It's like he went and did that. Like, he did everything he could to get over in AEW. And yeah, I mean, he got his back turned on him.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you can't get over. Do you hear the story about Logan Paul talking to Vince McMahon?
No.
And when he was going to work with the WWE and with The Miz and stuff, and his meeting with Vince McMahon, he's like, so, you know, who are you? What have you done? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's just like, dude, I have like the number one podcast in the world.
Yeah.
And Vince didn't say anything. And like, he was like just super unimpressed about it. And he was like, can you imagine that? Like, I went like, that's Vince McMahon, eh? He's like,
yeah.
Not impressed. What the fuck is up?
He's
a
gangster, man.
Yeah, he is a gangster.
He's like,
yeah.
So? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You're not a wrestler. What is that?
Yeah, he hasn't been back since. The Miz turned on him, eh? I guess he owes him one, but it's weird. I thought I was going to see him back sooner. He said he was going to be more full-time, so maybe things didn't work out. I don't know. Maybe
wait for WrestleMania or SummerSlam.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Dude, Maryse is back.
She's been back before.
Dude. I don't know, man. She looked mighty fine this past week, though.
I saw her titties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw that gif. It was quite nice.
Gif? I didn't see gif.
It was a gif of her, like, with her big boobies out and her tongue's going, like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I watch the reality show sometimes because it comes on right after Raw very often or right after wrestling. It's not bad, I guess. But, like,
well, it's horrible, but it's okay.
Yeah, but now a lot of, like, you know, like when you get into further seasons, you just start realizing that, like, they're really faking stuff.
Oh, my God. That was that show from season one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh,
I guess,
man.
So. I guess.
That was the fakest.
Well, it's gotten so much worse. I guess I could say that. Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go pick up a cake. And then the dad drops the cake.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay.
Well, all those shows are crap. But they're like junk food, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's junk food. It's 100% junk food. All right.
That was nice. Short and sweet. Mini episode of Talkamania, guys. We just wanted to shoot the shit, talk about Hell in a Cell, talk a little bit about our injury for, you know, the big names in the WWE. You got Cody Rhodes, this big return he has at WrestleMania. Now he's going to be on the shelf for a little while. Hopefully come back around Royal Rumble time. And does this mean another match with Seth Rollins? It has to.
No.
I don't know.
How could you escape it then? If he comes back and goes back to
unless,
him.
Like, he comes back in the Royal Rumble.
They'll feud there, yeah.
Goes to WrestleMania, wins the title. The next night, Seth comes out, and he's like, we have some unfinished business.
Yeah, and or Seth could just be in the ring when he comes out at the Royal Rumble. They could squash it there.
Yeah, I guess so. Yep, yeah, that could be it, too, yeah. Because again, like I feel like if they do face off again, Seth's going to have to win this time.
You said that three times.
And you're going to have him, you know, win right after Cody comes back. So
unbeatable. He'll be unbeatable.
We talk about that Triple H comeback where he tore his quad. It wanted to be one of the massive returns. John Cena's wealth rumble was huge. I wonder how big this one's going to be. I think, you know, it's a bump in the road for Cody Rhodes, but it's only going to make his comeback more triumphant. And, you know, Punk, we'll see with him, though. You know, we'll see with that dude. What goes on?
So kayfabe tweeted out today that he misses Trivomania. And he called out Cass and said we should do it.
We should do it. We just need to find our extra contestants. I have the questions already finalized, like, months ago. I can tweak them up, maybe add some other things I've been noting down, some more modern questions, which are pretty cool. I come up with some. But yeah, we should. We just got to find some people. And I know we can because these guys are in tournaments where people are involved that might want to join the Talkamania Fund. So
we should do it. Yeah,
we should do that. We should get on that. Maybe we can plan something for July.
Let's go for it. Let's do it.
All right.
All right. On behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Happy Rusev Day. They making the North Atlantic Championship just for Miro. I'm telling you, they're giving Adam Cole this Owen Hart belt. They're going to give the other belt to Miro.
You think so?
Yeah, they're doing that now.
So it'll be a pure WWE title?
We can't put you in the main event, but we can give you something. We're going to put you in a tournament. You're going to win that tournament. We're going to give you a belt. I don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Peace. Happy Rusev Day.